Growing up in Bloomington, Illinois, shaped Adam Kinzinger's moral compass in profound ways. His mother, a dedicated third-grade teacher, instilled a love of learning, while his father led faith-based organizations helping the homeless. Their moderate approach to their independent fundamental Baptist faith, attending for community rather than rigid dogma, taught young Adam that principles mattered more than partisan loyalty. This foundation would prove crucial decades later when facing impossible political choices. Political awakening came early for Kinzinger. At 14, his father took him to a Christian coalition conference where President George H.W. Bush spoke, revealing the first tenuous connections between traditional Republicans and Christian activists. This alliance, seemingly innocent then, would eventually transform the party. After winning a county board seat at just 20 years old, Kinzinger experienced politics in a bygone era marked by cordiality and neighborly traditions. His headline-making first debate seems almost quaint today. Cordiality marks debate, a stark contrast to the scorched earth politics he would later witness. What happens when the values that shape your worldview collide with the party that claims to represent them? This tension would define Kinzinger's political journey, from idealistic young conservative to principled outlier willing to risk everything for democracy. The September 11 attacks, which Kinzinger heard about on Howard Stern's radio show, gave new purpose to his military aspirations. Despite doubts about his mathematical abilities, he achieved his goal of becoming a military pilot, operating the KC-135 refueling tanker. Flying aerial refueling missions 6 miles above Earth required exceptional precision and trust, qualities Kinzinger would later see lacking in Washington. His SIR training, which included learning to escape captivity and resist interrogation, provided skills that would prove valuable in future political challenges. During his deployments, Kinzinger embraced local cultures rather than staying in the comfort of military establishments. His missions ranged from North Korean coastal surveillance in Guam to supporting Iraq operations from Turkey's Incirlik base and anti-narcotics efforts in Colombia. These experiences shaped his view of America's crucial role in global affairs. A profound moment came when his aircraft transported wounded soldiers from Afghanistan. One soldier, severely injured and bandaged, wanted only to rejoin his unit, saying, "I left my boys behind." This display of loyalty helped Kinzinger later understand how allegiance could blind his Republican colleagues during the Trump era. Kinzinger launched his congressional campaign in 2009 at the Boy Scout Museum in Ottawa, Illinois. His moderate conservatism and respectful approach gave him broad appeal, though he didn't anticipate how the GOP's deepening culture war would later diminish this advantage. The Tea Party emerged during his campaign as a response to Obama's policies. While it began as grassroots protests against economic bailouts, it soon received substantial backing from wealthy right-wing organizations and conservative media. Kinzinger maintained a strategic relationship with the movement, encouraging civility while harnessing its energy. The movement's evolution from legitimate grievances to a tool for power became apparent as groups like FreedomWorks and figures like Michelle Bachmann took control. After the 2010 electoral success, FreedomWorks fundraising surged 25-fold to $25 million. The debt ceiling crisis early in his term exposed the Tea Party's rigid stance. Though Kinzinger supported debt reduction, he opposed drastic budget cuts that would harm Americans relying on Social Security, Medicare, and veterans' health care. Working with Speaker Boehner, they achieved a compromise despite significant Republican opposition. The transformation of conservative media profoundly shaped Kinzinger's political environment. He noticed how constituent conversations increasingly began with "Rush says" or "Bill says," referring to commentators who framed opponents as pinheads or Islamofascists. This rhetoric was amplified in churches, where preachers increasingly portrayed politics as a war between God's army and Satan's minions, with liberals cast as literally evil. As Kinzinger's media presence grew, particularly on Fox News, he experienced the addictive nature of political fame. The attention was intoxicating. Makeup artists making you look good. Studio crews treating you like royalty. Hosts praising your performance. Fox made success easy, he admits, by expecting familiar GOP boilerplate arguments that simply flipped Democratic positions. Think about how different our political landscape might be if media rewarded nuance and compromise rather than conflict and outrage. By 2014, polarization had reached alarming levels. Only 39% of Americans held mixed political views, an all-time low. Media silos, represented by Fox and MSNBC, led to real-life isolation, with half of consistent conservatives and a third of consistent liberals preferring communities sharing their political views. Kinzinger was wrong about viewers being in on the game. Fox News operated like a drug pusher, hooking viewers with increasingly powerful conspiracy theories. Glenn Beck promoted paranoia about the UN's Agenda 21 environmental document, claiming it proved plans for world domination, recycling John Birch Society fears, once considered too radical even for conservatives. By 2016, Tea Party tricorn hats gave way to red MAGA caps as Donald Trump secured the Republican nomination despite unprecedented insults and controversy. When the Grab Them by the Pussy tape emerged, Kinzinger's refusal to endorse Trump made him an outcast in local GOP circles. Trump's inauguration troubled Kinzinger, from the false crowd size claims to Trump's theatrical performance. With his unbuttoned coat and long red tie, Trump's raised fist and dark American carnage speech contrasted sharply with previous presidents' hopeful messages. Kinzinger watched his colleagues transform from private Trump critics to public supporters. Despite Trump's betrayal of Kurdish allies and the Ukraine scandal, Kinzinger voted against impeachment, a decision he later deeply regretted. January 6th proved decisive. As rioters stormed the Capitol, Kinzinger waited in his locked office with his gun ready, receiving alerts about the mob breaking into offices. In that moment, he realized his party had been replaced by a personality cult built on decades of extreme partisanship. When Speaker Pelosi offered McCarthy equal partnership in a January 6th committee, he nominated Trump supporters, including Jim Jordan. After Pelosi rejected Jordan and Banks, McCarthy withdrew all nominations. Kinzinger and Liz Cheney joined the committee despite concerns about partisanship. The committee's team of 120 staff processed over 1,000 interviews, 1 million documents, and hundreds of hours of video footage. Liz Cheney emerged as the leading voice, keeping focus on the attempted coup. During the final hearing, Kinzinger presented evidence of Trump's 187-minute inaction during the Capitol attack. Trump watched TV in a dining room, spoke with Giuliani, and ignored intervention pleas from Fox News hosts and his children. He told Meadows the rioters were doing what they should be doing and refused Pentagon calls. Post-Congress, Kinzinger found peace in family life, comparing his exit to leaving a battlefield. Yet 60% of Republicans still believe Trump's election fraud claims, with the party transforming into what he describes as a cult that glorifies criminals as martyrs. Former CIA officer Jamie Winship taught Kinzinger that courage means continuing despite fear, a lesson that defined his evolution from loyal Republican to democracy defender, showing that patriotism sometimes means opposing your own party's abandonment of principles.